Good morning and welcome to Backchat. I'm Sarah Passmore.
And I'm Hugh Chewerton. This Monday morning we're asking whether Hong Kong should have competition laws.
It's said by some that Hong Kong has one of the world's freest economies, despite the fact that we have very few competition laws.
Others say that consumers and businesses are suffering from monopolies and cartels covering such items as fuel, driving schools, and what you can buy in the supermarket.
Now the government is setting up an independent committee in the summer to determine if we need a fair competition law.
So, how do you feel? Do you think there's a need for legislation?
Or is the government's present comprehensive competition policy enough?
You can give us a call on 233 88266, that's 233 88266, or email backchat at rthk.org.hk and tell us what you think. And joining us on the programme this morning, we have David Webb, the editor of website.com, Legislative Councillor Ronnie Tong, Vincent Chin, who's a Central Committee member of the Liberal Party, and the Chief Executive of the Consumer Council, Pamela Chan. Good morning to everybody over there in our Central Studio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in. David Webb, let's start with you. What's the problem? You know, all these surveys and think tanks say that Hong Kong is a model of how capitalism should run and it's the freest economy in the world and all this kind of thing.
Well, one is,
you know, is there something wrong here?
Yes, there is. One organization in particular keeps giving out those awards, the Heritage Foundation from America, which is a right-wing think tank. But the reality is that those awards tend to be based on our external trade. For example, we have very few import and export tariffs, except for things like fuel and tobacco and alcohol. But if you look internally in Hong Kong, we have a lot of cartels. We have a lot of price fixing going on. And a lack of consumer choice, and that tends to lead to higher prices and friction in the economy, which makes us less competitive with our regional neighbours. I note, for example, that Singapore has recently caved in to pressure on this and passed the Competition Act and set up a competition commission with investigatory powers because they recognised that the same issues were hampering their economy.
Are you saying it's actually hampering our economy, do you think, or is it just that consumers are paying a little bit more, or is it the same thing?
I think that's one and the same thing in various different sectors of the economy, starting with the choke point of imports, the container terminal, where we have a virtual duopoly of two large players there. We have artificially high prices, and when you have those extra margins in the economy, then everything costs more, and the choice between, say, basing your headquarters in Hong Kong or Singapore or Shanghai disfavours Hong Kong. Even China is in the process of passing an antitrust law, and they already have some restrictions in a competition law that they passed 10 years ago. So we're in danger of being the last man in Asia without a competition law.
What's the difference between having dominant players in the market and having a cartel or a monopoly?
Well, literally, a monopoly is where one player has the entire market. Cartels tend to be defined as oligopolies, where you have multiple players. A good example recently was the Housing Authority, which, of course, is ultimately owned by the taxpayer. The Housing Authority was stiffed by the people who sell security doors to housing estates. 11 contractors got together and agreed on the right price and agreed that they wouldn't beat each other up on that, and then agreed how to split the excess profits of about $55 million that the Housing Authority had to pay for these gates. Now, this case went to court, and the judge acquitted the defendants because there was no competition law he could apply, and they couldn't make fraud charges stick either.
Ronnie Tong, competition laws is something that you want to have introduced. How have you got on the road to that?
Well, let me just first of all follow up on what David said. I agree, of course, with almost all of what David is saying, but I disagree to a little extent. Fair competition law is not simply to protect the consumer. It is also there to protect businessmen. Mm. It is the more sophisticated our economy becomes, the more there is a need to have a set of rules to prevent business people from cheating. You asked a moment ago, put a question to David and say, what is the difference between a dominant player and a cartel and so on? Well, the difference is that, as far as I can see, a fair competition law which would suit the conditions of Hong Kong is a set of rules which would not target at dominant players simply because of their position in the market, but what they do. In other words, the law is there not to attack position, but to attack conduct. If you embark upon a course of conduct, which is essentially the effect of restricting competition, then you're basically cheating, and therefore there should be a set of rules to prevent you from doing so. And if you do cheat, it is not only the consumers who would suffer, but other business people in the trade, and eventually the entire society will suffer. But we already have a lot of examples where we can cite. We have hawkers putting in a bid, trying to prevent the store next to him would have somebody competing with his business. We have driving instructors agreeing to fix their prices. We have laundry industry trying to fix prices. We have the government limiting the developing right to a developer in the cyber port. So this is all prevailing, and this is something that we must face.
How easy is it going to be to introduce a competition?
Well, I have been extremely busy talking to the business sector ever since the day I was elected as a legislator. I just came away from a luncheon thing last week where nine international chambers of commerce grouped together and invited me to give a talk on the subject. And the feeling that I get is that a great deal of the business sector is behind the idea that we should have a competition law. Those who are against, they are simply saying, either they're simply saying that you shouldn't have something like the American system or even the Australian system, which is very litigiously based. Others, they have the misconception that fair competition law would target position and not simply conduct. And they were afraid that because I'm a dominant player in the market, why should I agree that there should be a set of laws which would basically restrict the way in which I do business? And I have to spend a great deal of time trying to explain to the business community that that is not so.
Well, Vincent Chin from the Liberal Party, do you think that the business community would support competition laws?
I'll start with the Liberal Party's position. We haven't decided yet. It's not cut and dry, but naturally we have some reservations about it. And for the purposes of today's discussion, since there are three proponents for legislation, I suppose it would be healthy for someone to play the devil's advocate.
I'll help you out, Vincent. Don't worry.
Right. As you can understand that from ideological grounds, we are naturally sceptical of putting broad sweeping powers to a regulatory agency regulating this kind of thing, which, in the absence of the legislation, would be in the market's domain. We are naturally very sceptical about that. Why should business decisions be put into the hand of bureaucrats? And bearing in mind that the big players are going to be targeted and there's going to be litigation, is naturally to think about judicial reviews and these cases going to court. And we are talking about layers and layers of regulations and court decisions regulating this kind of issue, which, as I said, in the absence of legislation, would be in the domain of the market. We have a scepticism about this kind of arrangement. But having said that, it's not that cut and dry. And secondly, from the consumer's point of view, I think that there's a little bit of disparity between the number of players and the existence of cartel and with prices and outcome. For instance, I'll give you an example, credit card. The credit card market in Hong Kong is very fragmented, but credit card interest rates are very high. This is due to various reasons. There's no evidence that there's any collusion between any of the credit card providers that they have to keep the interest rates high. But at the same time, we do not have efficient measures in the credit card market, such as securitization, which is quite abundant in other places and regions, which would naturally bring the price down. And if we look at banking in Hong Kong is very concentrated. A lot of people bank with, for instance, HSBC. And if people are exchanging foreign currencies in Hong Kong, they'll find that the rates are a lot cheaper than places like Britain, which has a much lower concentration of banking services in any dominant player.
But then in Britain, you get very competitive saving rates that you don't get in Hong Kong.
It is a different problem. In Hong Kong, we have a very tight supply of money, and this is artificially created by the Hong Kong Monetary Authority. It's got something to do with the 1 to 7.8 exchange rate, and it's not something that I'm prepared to go into today, but there are technical reasons for it.
Okay. Well, Pamela Chan, Chief Executive of the Consumer Council, you wanted to respond there, I think.
Oh, yes. Vincent raised a very interesting point. Firstly, he said that, businessmen doesn't like to have any regulation, just let the market prevail. What about copyrights? You are asking for very high-handed criminalization of end users, even. And you wanted the law to protect businessmen in all respect on copyright. I do respect copyright, but I think, this is not absolute what you mentioned. I mean, we would need a law to retain the fairness in the market. I think this is the important spirit. And secondly, you mentioned about credit card, and you mentioned about the competition in the credit card market. In Hong Kong, because there is no competition law, we cannot pursue some of the actions that had been brought in other jurisdictions. For instance, in the States, the credit card companies were sued because of collusion. And in many jurisdictions, they have sued some drug companies for vitamin cartel, because they got together and set fixed the price for vitamin. And because Hong Kong doesn't have any competition law, even if somebody in Hong Kong brings action, and even if there's damages suffered in Hong Kong, we cannot sue for compensation for consumers.
I think I also want to put Mr. Chin at ease. Perhaps I should spend more time talking to the Liberal Party as well. I'm not advocating a set of laws which would encourage private litigation or judicial review. We're simply talking about a set of rules to ensure a level playing field, to ensure that there is fair play between business people, and the consumer will not get ripped off. That's very important.
With a regulatory body or something?
Yes. I think what I can see is that we should have something like, in the model of the Consumer Council or OFTA, where you have a regulatory body which doesn't simply regulate in the sense of targeting business people, picking them out, and make sure they can't compete fairly. But quite the contrary, just to be a watchdog to ensure that people are not cheating, then they have the interests of the Hong Kong's economy in mind.
Yeah, I would support what Ronnie was saying earlier about the fact that you can be a monopolist and not be abusive. It's just that when you have only one or two players in a market, the natural behaviour is to be abusive. And that's why you need an agency with investigatory powers and sanctioning powers to guard against that. And I also agree with the fact that the frictions caused by a lack of competition law work both against consumers and against small businesses. Now, we have a government here which likes to meddle in the economy by setting up various intervention funds for small and medium enterprises, like the loan guarantee schemes that it produces, or furniture grants or training grants and so on. And that's almost a SOP. It's a sort of compensation to SMEs for the fact that they don't have a level playing field in which they can enter the market and compete fairly with the much bigger players who dominate the sectors they're interested in. So a competition law works to encourage small and medium enterprises. It also means that the taxpayer can stop throwing money into these various subvention schemes.
Well, I dare say that even big business people can get hurt sometimes if there's a lack of such rules. And I think Carry 4 is a good example. It's a big international supermarket chain. It didn't survive in Hong Kong, went to China, and was able to establish itself as one of the most important chain stores in China, on the mainland, we're part of China.
what would happen to the big players once a competition law was introduced, if it was? I mean, how would someone like Mr. Lee fare? Would his empire come tumbling around him?
Which Mr. Lee are you talking about?
Quite right. Well, this is something that I think the sceptics will have something to say about. For instance, if we talk about a slightly different topic, such as the Kyoto Protocol, it's not ratified in the United States because of certain energy lobbyists saying that you can't do that sort of thing without the consent of the big players in the energy industry.
Do you agree?
I think we are facing a similar situation in Hong Kong. Well, ideologies aside, quite honestly, I can't see how this can be pushed forward without a certain degree of cooperation or voluntary concession on the part of the big players.
I think this reflects the fact that we don't have competition at the very top of our economy in the chief executive's office. If you have competition through a set of democratically elected leaders for policy making, then pretty soon after that you get pro-consumer, pro-investor laws coming along, which will help rebalance the playing field. I mean, in answer to your question, I think that the dominant players in various sectors would have a very good head start in the event of a level playing field being installed, and would probably find ways to defend their market share quite vigorously. But nevertheless, they would have to compete more. And we do have isolated examples of very successful deregulation, for example, in telecommunications, where the government adopted sector-specific measures. We now have not any more cable and wireless monopoly, but vigorous competition. And that's benefited consumers. It's also benefited new entrants to
Can I just say this? I resent the innuendo. I'm not a Lee supporter, but I resent any innuendo that any big, large enterprises in Hong Kong are guilty of anti-competitive behavior. I think, innuendos such as this or suggestions such as these, in fact, create obstacles because it frightens off people. I think we have to deal with this on a very rational basis.
Well, Ronnie, but if nobody's doing it, then what's the problem? Why do you need the legislation?
Well, I'm saying that there are people doing it, but there is no evidence to suggest that any particular or any specific large enterprises, in fact, are doing this. We set our rules not because there are no people who there may be no offenders, but that we want to ensure, to guarantee that there is a level playing field, to ensure that harmful conduct will not take place. That's one good reason enough for us to pass a law by itself. But of course, as I said, I've quoted examples where there are anti-competitive behavior from various sectors and we need to deal with them. There is also another point, and that is that sometimes a particular sector is being suspected of being guilty of committing any competitive behavior. Now, we don't know until we investigate and find out, in fact, there is or there is not anti-competitive behavior. It is no point simply to accuse them from the outset and say, well, there you are. You're guilty of such competitive behavior. I don't think that's the right thing.
That's why you need an agency with investigatory powers.
Exactly. I agree with that entirely.
To look under the stones and find out whether there are snakes there or not.
Okay. And talking about levels of comfort, sorry to intervene. Mm. I think there's a position which the Liberal Party might support. We haven't discussed it yet. And it's got something to do with localized and globalized issues. The competition law that is being suggested is very globalized sort of legislation targeting every sort of business behavior that is done in the jurisdiction. This is something that we are naturally skeptical about. But at the same time, we do recognize that in certain market sectors, there perhaps are uncompetitive behaviors going on, and they could be dealt with on a sectorial basis.
But that won't work. I mean, look at the recent example where the bank insisted that you must go to a particular insurance company. If you have a sector-specific legislation, then who do you control? You control the bank, or you control the insurance field, or you control both? Where do you stop?
Before you know it,
there will be about 50 anti-competitive authorities in Hong Kong. I mean, this is not the right way of doing things.
There was a good example of that problem when the telecoms regulator, Ofta, received a complaint from residents of a housing estate built by one of the large developers. And that developer was basically bundling its telecom service into the management fees without any consumer choice. But they Ofta said that it couldn't do anything to intervene because this related more to the management fees than it did to the telecoms side of things.
Speaking of Ofta, I mean, we were just discussing the other week about those complaints about, salespeople on fixed lines. And isn't that kind of abuse exactly what happens when you do open the market up too much? That there is a downside to competition, that you get fly-by-nights, you get, in industries where you don't want fly-by-nights, and this is the problem with, power and things like that, and you get abusive salespeople, and you get too much pressure can sometimes be bad for the consumer.
It's a two-separate problem.
This is not fair. I think there are many businesses in Hong Kong that compete and then there is no misconduct on their part. So it is not fair when you say that when businesses come into having competition, and they will indulge in malpractices.
That's right. I mean, it's almost like saying that, well, there are people rushing traffic lights, and therefore you shouldn't have traffic lights. You know, I don't believe that's right. We have to. On the other hand, I agree that you can't, of course, control too much. And this is what I've been, at pains to try to explain to the business people in Hong Kong. That what we're trying to do is to find a middle ground, a point in between the two extremes of a very wide spectrum. On the one hand, you have the American system, which everybody agrees is quite extreme. On the other hand, we have the other extreme, which is the Hong Kong situation, which is, you know, basically do nothing. So we have to find a point somewhere in between which suits the conditions of Hong Kong. And we can do it by stages. Look at Singapore. They're doing it by three stages. And they leave, for example, mergers and acquisitions last. Now, that I can agree, because sometimes mergers can, in fact, be pro-competitive. Take the banking industry, for example. At the moment, there is a proposal of a merger going on of two small banks or smaller banks to make them, in fact, a little bit bigger so that they are in a better competitive position insofar as the two leading banks in Hong Kong are concerned. So we can have some middle ground here.
Personally, I'm a little bit reluctant to go down the Singaporean way. If we look at anti-competition law, for instance, in the United States, in mainland China, and in the European Union, for instance, they do actually cover vast regions and very large economies without any specific concentration on a small spot like Hong Kong. And Hong Kong, geographically, not being a large place, and in terms of economy, it is a significant city, but it's a city economy. And there are also examples of residents in Hong Kong actually benefiting from services provided by dominant player.
I think you got it completely the wrong way around. In a small economy, it is easier for big corporations to control the market by doing little. You get more harm in small economies. Yeah, I'm sorry, you got it completely upside down.
I suppose we're all entitled to our point of view.
I don't see how anyone can benefit from a lack of competition. And this is the old Hong Kong is different argument, which I simply haven't bought investment either.
You accept that there are certain industries which you can't just open to anyone. No, not anyone can run a bank or generate power, yes, or things like this.
Anyone who satisfies the banking regulator should be allowed to run a bank.
Yes, okay, so you have a banking regulator and you have...
In terms of capital ratios and the fact that your manager is not a convict and so on...
I'm talking about personal
standards. So there are limits to the competition that you allow. There are limits.
There are licensing regimes for various things. Stockbroking will be another one, for example. But I don't accept that salespeople in stockbrokers weren't aggressive before commission deregulation, didn't abuse shareholders' money before deregulation. But it took years and years before the minimum commissions were abolished. We now have a more competitive broking sector as a result.
Okay. Having said that, I think I would be extremely reluctant not be allowed to bank with HSBC because it's been too successful in Hong Kong and by virtue of competition law has to be driven out of the region in which I live.
There's no chance. I think you got it wrong again because as Ronnie Tong has been explaining time and again that we're not against anything that is big. We look at the conduct, and if the conduct is the dominant player is practicing anti-competition conduct.
Okay, we've got a break for the news now, but we'll be back in about 5 minutes. We're talking this morning about competition policy on Backchat. Give us a call. We'll be break for 5 minutes for the news. Back soon.
You're listening to Backchat on Radio 3. Call us on 233-88266 or email backchat@rthk.org.hk. It's your voice.
Welcome back to Backchat with me, Sarah Passmore, and Hugh Chiverton. This morning, we're talking about competition laws and whether we need them here in Hong Kong. And we're joined by David Webb, who's the editor of website.com, Vincent Chin, who is a Central Committee member of the Liberal Party, and Pamela Chan, the Chief Executive of the Consumer Council. We've just had to say goodbye to Ronnie Tong. But we would like to hear your views too, so do give us a call, 233-88266, or you can email backchat@rthk.org.hk.
Joining us on the line now is Mark from Mark Simon from Republicans Abroad, chairman of Republicans Abroad here. Mark, good morning to you.
Morning. How are you?
I'm very well.
I have to tell you, I'm just very. If in Hong Kong, there's a guy who set up Hong Kong. We were very lucky. A man named John Cooperthwaite showed up and set up a system that has served Hong Kong very, very well. The premise on which people are basing their arguments for competition law here, I just find silly. Mr. Webb's complaining about the Hong Kong port. I sit on the board of a shipping company. Terminal charges and storage charges and trucking charges and everything else in Hong Kong have been dropping for the last 7 or 8 years. Ronnie, who was just on, was using the example of Carrefour. I think it had more to do with the fact Carrefour's problem was they picked lousy locations and the fact that Jimmy Lai with AdMart started a a retail war. I don't see where they're going other than the fact that this is really is an attack on this belief that Hong Kong is somehow mystically controlled through little covert smoking rooms and things like that. Hong Kong is a vibrant, open, free market economy. And the fact of the matter is there are a few deals that happen in between these groups, such as the Doors, which is regrettable with the housing authority. But why are you going to throw out the baby with the bathwater? I mean, in other words, you can address a lot of these things, such as Mr. Webb. You want more competition at the terminals? Pressure the government to open up the river trade terminal.
It's interesting you should mention AdMart, which, of course, Jimmy Lai was involved with. Because I remember quite vividly when it started up trying to break into the supermarket sector here, it was forced to advertise in the newspapers, begging the suppliers in Hong Kong to start dealing with it because it was parallel import.
I was the senior vice president that shut down AdMart, and AdMart had more problems than just competition.
Nevertheless,
the fact is, the suppliers that wanted to supply us, you'd have that problem anywhere in the world.
Arrangements that they had entered into with the two dominant supermarket chains would not be illegal in Hong Kong, whereas they would be elsewhere. And
difficulties. So you're limiting somebody's bill. I mean, look, my boss is the guy that lost $120 million. He's not complaining about it. Why are you? I mean,
as a shopper in a supermarket, I would prefer to have more choice. And the problem is location, as you said.
Look at the margins that these guys are making now, 2%, 3%. There's plenty of choice out there. I mean, if you go to more than Oliver's, I think you'll find there's a lot of choice in Hong Kong.
To Oliver's, did you say?
Dairy Farm, which owns Welcome. Yeah, that's right. And so what? I mean, what's wrong with big chain? You are against big.
I'm not. I'm against high margins and lack of consumer choice. You made a point about locations. If you can let me respond to that, you made a point about locations. Carrefour has had no problem finding locations in China. One of the problems it has with finding locations in Hong Kong is that they're sewn up by the major chains already.
That wasn't their problem. I talked to these guys. They didn't know what they're talking about. Their problem was they decided to do the megastore concept, and guess what? It doesn't work. It was just like AdMart. The problem is people don't have that much storage in Hong Kong, so trying to sell them a 24 slab of Coke was a little difficult. I mean, you're a stock ticker, David. You don't understand the business, and everybody I'm listening to here.
No, I do understand economics, and I do understand competition.
You're telling us that because there's no competition in Hong Kong?
Whether or not there is abuse in any particular sector, including supermarkets, is difficult to tell when you have no investigatory powers. The companies aren't even obliged to publish accounts.
Mark, I have a natural sympathy with your position, particularly regarding the Carrefour issue. I think it's been a case that has been intensively studied by quite a lot of academics in business schools. The business model that succeeds in Hong Kong supermarkets isn't necessarily the same as the business model that would succeed in mainland supermarkets.
Let's not talk about the failure of Carrefour, but if Carrefour is used as an example,
I think it's been grossly overstated.
I can use another example that even there were two occasions where Carrefour put on the shelf this note and saying which said that they cannot get supply. Because of exclusive agreements between the supermarket chains and the supplier. I think in other jurisdictions, this will become an issue that needed to look at because it harms the competition process.
I don't see how the argument of exclusivity really affects competition law. The thing is what's going to happen is you're going to create this giant bureaucratic monster going to go around.
No, we don't want a giant monster. I think this is just needed.
That will inevitably come about.
The Hong Kong government tends to grow exponentially and very quickly. And that's, I mean, that's, that, you all know that. Why are we going after, I mean, as I said, there seems to be remedies here. You want more competition in the, you want more competition in the terminals? Fine. Open up the River Trade Terminal. You, we have Walmart doing their mighty march down the,
River Trade Terminal is partly owned by one of the operators of the container terminal anyway, so I'm not sure that would help very much.
Yes, of course it would. They're looking for volume. I mean, these guys are doing business. And, you know, the other thing is when you look at Walmart now, you got Walmart and Shenzhen. They're slowly starting to move across. They may show up here. They may not. We have a vibrant trade in the in a lot of the areas. You're sitting here. The problem I have with competition law in Hong Kong, whenever I hear this discussion, is we constantly throw out these red herring arguments. It's a personal and everything else to get people worked up. Look, Hong Kong works because we have a free, open economy, and a small businessman and a medium businessman doesn't have to wake up every morning.
Perhaps you could go and explain this to the shippers who are complaining about the terminal handling charges and the capacity and the way those are created.
Well, the terminal handling charges are created by the shipping lines, actually. The shipping lines actually created those a long time ago. But the point
is... And you agree with it, that they can create these charges and impose them because they have market power?
They do it all... The terminal handling charges, THC, is all over Asia.
Yes.
They have it any place in the world.
That doesn't make it right, does it?
Sure, if the market bears it, then it makes it right. That's what makes it right. If the market bears it,
I don't think the market has much choice.
Mark,
if they want to import into Hong Kong.
We've had a call from Simon. I'd like to put this call to you, Mark. Simon wants to rebut the earlier point made by Ronnie Tong about innuendo, and he said he wants to refer to the Coca-Cola wars a few years back between Park and Shop and Price Right. During that time, one can of Coca-Cola dropped to $1.9, but Park and Shop gave the suppliers apparently an ultimatum, supply us or them. Since then, Price Right has gone bust, and Coca-Cola costs $4.5 a can, so there's no innuendo. That's what Simon
says. Well, you do what Admart did, who really upsets fire bottling, and you go over and you get your Coca-Cola from Taiwan or Malaysia or other places, and you bring it in. And the fact of the matter is, Coca-Cola wants to cut their exclusive deal with Park and Shop. That's their business right to cut that deal. I have failed to see it. Any UN human rights charter, the right to Coca-Cola. I mean, my point is, if people really want to compete and to move out there and do things, look at the shopping experience in Hong Kong that's happened in the last 10 years. The fact that it's gotten better, and it went through a deflationary period. When Admart was up and running and Carrefour was here, I didn't hear anybody screaming bloody murder about competition laws or somebody coming over putting money in a penny jar to help these guys go forward. The market gets
Admart was very helpful to competition. For a brief period, we enjoyed quite vigorous competition, and probably the major supermarket chains cut their margins right down in order to drive it out of business. But it did drive them out of business, and you closed.
Mark, do you agree with what's your viewpoint about bid rigging, and what's your viewpoint about trade association coming out to announce a price increase all across the board, giving consumer no choice?
First of all, the fact of the matter is the market will have its revenge. If you think that somewhere in Happy Valley with these guys driving around with the car, I mean, we're willing to gut the Hong Kong economic system and structure because we've got some guys driving around small Mazdas giving driving lessons, and we're willing to gut it because these guys have all of a sudden set up their new numbers. I mean, the fact of the matter is we all know once that those rates become attractive, somebody will enter the market in Hong Kong. Now, if you tell me that somebody's strong-arming somebody, well, that's against the law, okay? But exclusivity and enforcing exclusive rights and enforcing
against what law?
Well,
there is no law.
Well, no, strong-arming, what I mean by strong-arming means by basically, you know, two people show up at your door and say something's going to happen to you if you keep charging price. That doesn't happen in Hong Kong. The fact is, people here do things. This is an expensive town. There's a limited supply of land. And the fact of the matter is, things cost a lot of money. But you know what? If you really want to compare then the Consumer Council, why not every day tell us what a quarter milk cost in Australia, tell us what a quarter milk cost in Hong Kong, and then try to explain to us why that situation is there. There are other ways to do this for NGOs such as the Consumer Council to come out and to fight this. I am really wary, and I understand, I think everybody here has good intentions, and I'll let you guys go, but everybody's got good intentions here, but the problem is the bureaucratic machine that you're going to create that's going to get in everybody's business, it's going to be like the European Union or the European Commission.
Well, and I don't think you could say that OFTA has somehow stifled competition in telecoms by existing. I think OFTA is...
That is exactly how...
David, you confuse deregulation it's not, with competition law.
OFTA...
And not only that shows how anti-competitive behavior in different sectors can be addressed individually as they arise, and there's no need for this kind of broad, sweeping government regulatory agency that is going to be adding a lot of costs to any business doing any substantial size with the fear of doing too well.
Well, I don't think it adds any costs unless you start abusing your market position and inviting investigations, but there's no suggestion that having... pro-competition laws creates in itself stifling bureaucracy. I don't think OFTA has a massive budget, and it does its job fairly well. But problem
it's an ad hoc
limited.
Agency, and that's where that's the success lies.
That's the problem with ad hoc agencies, is that they are ring-fenced, and they can't deal with competition.
Well, they can't
deal
with
way.
Doors and the housing authority. I agree
deal,
with you.
They
but
can't
having
deal with
said
bundling
that,
of telecoms with management
if you introduce
either.
This kind of massive socialist concept of... Yes, Mark.
OFTA's a straw camel. I mean, let's face it, OFTA has been deregulated, and that's what's been happening in Hong Kong. What we've had is we've had deregulation. It's just like banking in Hong Kong. If you can meet the demands of the regulators, come on in. Look at all the new credit card providers we have out here and all the new consumer credit guys we have here, Prime, UAE. All these guys are out here providing things. We have Fubon.
Yeah, we have a much more competitive financial services sector than we did have 10 years ago. And we don't anymore have an official cartel on interest rates.
Yes, but having said that, if you look at credit card interest rates in Hong Kong and credit card in the interest rate in the United States, bearing in mind that the Hong Kong dollar is linked to the US dollar, you see that despite the abundance of players, interest rate for credit cards in Hong Kong remains uncompetitively high.
It's more competitive.
And that is due to reasons which has nothing to do with competition. There's no prevalent securitization market. It's a technical point. That means people issuing credit cards can offload their risks by selling their book debts to investors, and it's not a common practice in Hong Kong. It's been done by some providers, but not all. And it's a very common practice in the United States. And there are different explanations other than competition.
The problem with a sector specific approach is that it is very easily turned into a sector selective approach. And if you look at the Hong Kong government's approach to competition, what it said is that we won't have an overall law, we'll have sector-specific approaches, but then they pick on sectors which noticeably don't involve major tycoons who elect the government. For example, they picked on telecoms, which was a British monopoly originally with cable and wireless, and they picked on banking, which was dominated by
HSBC. Now you're picking on
HSBC. Those did not involve major local tycoons, so it was easy to get those sectors
so,
going.
So why pick on HSBC?
Them. They were able to pick on constituencies that did not elect the chief executive. Now, the point is that you need to have an overall consistent competition policy so people can choose which sectors they wish to compete in
but
they're starting up a business.
David, let me just add, here's the point. My point is what worries me is when I start hearing that we're not going after the tycoons. I mean, I told you earlier who I work for. Nobody has more problems with tycoons than the next media group, and everybody knows that, and who follows things. My point is if we're, what concerns me is, if we're going to go after them, and you're going to create this entity that can go, quote-unquote, get the tycoons, I'm more worried about somebody turning that entity around coming at other businessmen. I don't want a government entity that's meant to get people. In other words, I don't understand...
Well, any
that
any
whole mentality there.
Any,
I'm having
any,
a problem with that.
Branch of government like that, if it was to start to abuse its powers, would I hope be brought into line by judicial review in the courts? And there would be a due process for appealing its decisions.
Well, meddling with the laissez-faire philosophy and the free market is not something that we can never agree with.
Okay, what about tomorrow if all doctors in town say that, okay, this is the price that we're going to charge per consultation? That's an agreement, absolutely, and even with HA, everybody. So what do you, there is nothing.
Well, that's as likely as what if tomorrow all the doctors say they're not going to treat common cold or AIDS?
All right, Mark, thanks very much for your call.
Let's
introduce a little competition. We've got a little flood of emails coming in. First, this one from Simon, who says, instead of bringing in competition policy, why not address the government-backed monopolies that exist in Hong Kong? There's industries where competition is prohibited by the government, including the electricity, telecommunications and television markets. For example, if anyone tried to set up their own electricity company, they'd probably be jailed. The supermarket sector does not prohibit other competitors. One of the worst examples is the MPF industry, where consumers are forced to contribute to a scheme by bureaucrats. I think they know better than anyone else. This is not government collusion with big business. I don't know what it is. Let's remove the need for competition law by removing the special favours granted by government to certain sectors here.
Well, I think that's almost arguing in favour of a competition law.
Okay. PS says Simon, where I live, there is a Jusco, a Uni, a 7-Eleven, a parking shop, a Welcome and a CRC. There are also two different wet markets. I suspect any advantage in the supermarket sector come more from government land policy that ultimately allows certain chains.
Well, 7-Eleven and Welcome are owned by the same chain, so perhaps you're not aware of that. You create the illusion of choice sometimes.
Well, again, isn't that the point, like with Oliver's? There is choice. Oliver's does that. Whoever owns it is not the point. For the consumer, that you are getting something different at Oliver's you don't get at the other supermarkets.
You're getting prices that are controlled by the same ultimate shareholder, and it's unlikely that two arms of the same group are going to compete with each other to drive prices down, isn't it?
Okay, all right. Tim says, since no producer puts a gun to buyers' heads, too much market share... Hang on. Sorry, my computer's just cut me off. Right. Too much market share means too many willing buyers. The questions such as what is unfair competition, an unreasonable trade restraint or a monopoly are answered in antitrust. Indeed, they are unanswerable. To define a law is to limit it. To make it deliberately undefined gives the state wide open power to prosecute anyone, including the politically unpopular or envied, i.e. power for some men to rule others. Thus, antitrust corrupts our ideal of a government of laws and not of men. Indeed, this power grab starkly spotlights the ugly purpose of antitrust laws. They're designed by government officials and jealous competitors as guns put to the head of two successful businesses.
And Nick has called to say that you just have to look at the electricity market and the gas market, which are controlled by tycoons, to know that the Hong Kong government is pro-tycoons.
Rick says, my supplier has just put up the price of a loaf by 20%. Amazing. Has this town not learnt anything from the last 5 years? And on the issue of Carrefour, Ian's been listening in Japan. He says that Carrefour, note the pronunciation, failed in Japan, closing its 8 stores nationwide just 4 years after opening its first one. They never really revealed exactly why they packed up, but hinted at the poor economic climate. However, Walmart of the USA and Tesco of the UK are both still here and seemingly okay. So is it something to do with a fundamentally different approach as to why Carrefour, I guess, didn't get through in Hong Kong? Rick adds, back on the bread, when I came here 10 years ago, it was a pound... Oh, sorry, this is the phone calls. When I came here 10 years ago, it was a pound a minute to call the UK. Now it's 1 pence or free. Competition works, says Rick.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Isn't that... Yeah, that's new technology, though, isn't it? That's nothing to do with...
No, it's a combination of several things. If Cable and Wireless still had the exclusive right to provide telecom services here, as they do in some small Caribbean dependencies of the UK... then I think you'd still have a lot higher prices than you do now. They'd be lower than they were 10 years ago. You wouldn't be paying a pound a minute. You might still be paying 20p a minute.
Again, that's deregulation, isn't it? Is that the same as anti-competition?
In a way, competition law or competition policies is a very general concept. It promotes competition. It ensures, it sets up rules or policy to pro-competition. And just now, some of the readers, some of your audiences wrote in and say that maybe we need to look at other policies on about the power supply and gas. I think pro-competition policy should be observed throughout in government policies as well as in business.
Well, you see, we did invite the government on this morning. They said that they'd already explained the competition policy when we were talking about the power market. But basically, the government's competition policy is that it's a very general competition policy, what they call a comprehensive competition policy, so that, you know, anti-competition laws, well, you don't really need them because you have all these other ways that you encourage competition generally. They don't protect manufacturers or subsidise traders. There are virtually no barriers to market access for local and international traders. You have legislation like consumer goods safety, sale of goods ordinance, trade descriptions ordinance to make sure everything's fair like that. So it's a general kind of policy, a general approach to having a free market.
And, well, that doesn't stop the winner-takes-all mentality. That doesn't stop people cornering a market abusing it.
So you're saying it is a winner-takes-all mentality? I mean, a winner-takes-all
is... they have a winner-takes-all mentality, I mean, which is a big
leap
away
market.
From...
That's the way a market
it's a big way
behaves,
no, it's
it?
No, because when a free market reaches the edge of the map, when one player or a small group of players dominate a sector... then you don't have competition anymore. The invisible hand isn't just invisible, it isn't there. And that's when you need to have a competition law which reinstates a level playing field and allows new entrants to come into that market.
All right. John says, without a doubt, antitrust law is needed. It was only a few years ago that the China rice import monopoly was abolished and the retail price dropped the next day. And to date, the Great Pork Deal, only one importer is licensed and that firm is still securing great margins for the lone supplier. Is that true, that story, that there's only one man who can import pork to
yes,
Hong Kong?
Yes, it's Hong Kong Fong, which is controlled by China Resources Enterprise. And I remember recently a group of, I think, the people from the wet markets were out in protest about the recent hikes in import prices.
But having said that, this is not something that originates from Hong Kong. Is the Chinese government designating the country... is the Chinese government designating the company... which is allowed to supply pork in Hong Kong, and it's something that arises out of this jurisdiction, and even if we have a law, I can't see how that could be regulated.
Mm. All right, Mark says, it's all very well if your caller saying that supermarkets can buy their goods. His example was Coca-Cola from alternative supply sources. But when you have the supermarkets owned by the same company that runs the ports and terminals and dictating exclusivity deals across sectors, how are you going to bring in alternative goods? That comes from Mark. I mean, David, would you want to address something like that? Or Pamela, would you want to address something like that in regulations, in antitrust laws? The way that one person can control
many
sectors?
Yeah, you can get abuse by cross-sector behaviour, certainly, if you have your fingers in so many pies.
So you'd stop that as well? Yeah.
I think when you have a law, it depends how the law is crafted, and also how you define the market and what are the competitors and the competition process within that market.
Can you
so
do that
sometimes
without?
You may not look at probably will not look at cross market, but it will also it's quite very complicated. I think it needs some expert to really. Look into
the more complicated
it started with looking at that specific market first.
Having said that, the more complicated it becomes, the more expensive the regulatory costs would be, and any businesses doing anything of substantial size in Hong Kong will suffer. And this is precisely the sort of problem about which we are very cautious.
No, it's a lot cheaper
noting.
Than what you have suggested, that you want every regulator by sector, and that is extremely expensive.
If you have 100 different regulators, it's going to cost a lot more.
Speaking against
one.
Examples of success, OFTA is a success, is an example of success.
OFTA admits that it has limitations.
Against it has limitations, but... You are asking for the sky, and you don't care what sort of burden is going to
sky,
impose.
Which
is
all over the world have chosen to have competition laws because it benefits their economies.
Okay, I'm going to have to step in and stop the competition now and stop the program. Thank you very much indeed to those taking part. Pamela Chan, Chief Executive of the Consumer Council. Vincent Chin is a Central Committee Member of the Liberal Party. And David Webb, Editor of Website with doobie2bees.com. And earlier we were talking to Legislative Councillor Ronnie Tong. That's it for today. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Japan and the Security Council. It should be an interesting discussion. The Consul General will be joining us. Join us at 8:30 tomorrow morning for that. The weather forecast for today.